So I have recently started mountain biking. I have some stories around that that I would like to share. My goodness, I should preach on mountain biking, evidently. So I have some friends who mountain bike. Where are they? Okay, there they are, yes. In fact, one of the you guys don't know because he stays hidden, but Josh and Sarah Johnson have been core to this ministry and its success from day one. And I just want to honor them tonight. Sarah's dancing up here. Josh is sitting over here. Josh, would you just stand up real quick? So, I don't know where Sarah's at, but she's in children's ministry tonight, so she's serving somewhere, which is totally typical for this family. I want to honor them because what they have contributed in support and in walking our journey, I can say this about a couple of families, but this church wouldn't exist without the Johnsons. And the reason I'm kind of sharing a little bit about Josh and Sarah, which he didn't know I was going to do, but since you're here, I get to embarrass you, so... is that the first time that we got together as a church? Is it me? Maybe it's me. Do I do that to microphones? It's the anointing. Or my personality, maybe. I don't know. It's the first time that we got together as, wow. Hello? The first time that we got together. First time that we got together as a church, it is, it's me, isn't it? Okay. We were gathered in someone's home in a living room, and there was four couples, there's eight people. And Josh and Sarah were among them, and Josh and Sarah had been a part of the Alpha ministry that I was running at a previous church, and we're not going to get into that side of the story, but they had a transformational time in that Alpha course, and through the course of time, we became fast friends, and Josh was a part of my Tuesday morning Bible study that was at 5 a.m. every Tuesday at Perkins in Prior Lake. 5 a.m., right? Yeah, that's all you have to say, right? You had to really want to be there. There was no way you were going to accidentally show up for that one. But we did that for a couple of years. And it was where we learned how to prophesy. It was where the Lord taught us how to minister his presence. We learned so much from that experience. But the first time we got together as a church, we're sitting in a living room, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me in the midst of that living room and said, lay hands on Josh Johnson because he is a pastor. And so I prayed over Josh, and he looked at me like, you are crazy. Because Josh is in sales. He's shrugging his shoulders at me. Josh is in, seriously. No, I think that's the problem, actually, is it really is the presence. Like, there is something going on here. So, but Josh is in business, and it didn't really fit the mold of what we thought about in terms of pastoring. And what we would learn over the next several years is that it's possible to be someone who shepherds people in the marketplace. That the calling of being a pastor isn't about standing on a pulpit, it's about taking responsibility for people's lives and helping them get from where they're at to where God wants them to be. Are you with me tonight? And so we laid hands on Josh, we prayed over him, and it has been my joy to watch as Josh started a separate company called Twin Cities Bike Repair. And y'all don't know, who's a part of Twin Cities Bike Repair team? Why don't you stand up? Just your rider for that team. Come on, stand up. Yep, you're riding that team. Don't be afraid. Okay. This group, there you go, Josh. This group of people, this is not the full representation. There's like, I don't know, how many people are on your team now? 50 people. Okay, Josh has started a bike church. It's all like kingdom. They're loving on each other. They're doing community. They're whatever. Anyway, long story short, they have managed to sucker me into joining their church. Now, the reason I say that, this actually fits in quite well with what I really feel like the Lord is saying to us tonight. And it's this, is that I underwent back surgery, 7 years ago, three of them. And for the last 7 years, I have not been able to do physical activity really at all. I used to be very, very outgoing, very, very, in terms of sports, athletics, I like that stuff. And I was pretty good at performing with my body, like being able to do stuff. And I was normally good at something the first time out. I'm the guy that you just are irritated by. So I tried biking after 7 years of not conditioning, not exercising, nothing, right? I figured I'm just going to jump in a bike and do what I've always done, which is be good at it. No. No, not my story at all. In fact, I would get on it in the first loop at Lebanon Hills, 1.6 miles, and I almost died three times. And not because the turns or not because of obstacles, because my heart was going, pitter-patter, you must stop or I'm going to pop. What I realized is that my body was so out of condition that I was unable to do this simple activity that I know my body is capable of doing. So I have experiencing this quandary. I know in my brain I'm still that athlete who can perform. You know, right before I got my back surgeries, I was training for a marathon. I'm in like that kind of shape, right? And so I'm thinking, this is going to be easy. And so I put my hands to it. By the way, oh, this story has a point. Hang with me. And so I start to ride, and it's extremely discouraging. And then every time I go out with somebody from Twin Cities Bike Repair, they're all like, they run like 100 miles. They are crazy in shape. And they're really good. And so I would follow behind, and that's exactly what I would do, follow way behind. So I had this experience of knowing my body is capable of doing something, having a desire to do that thing, but not being able to do it. Now, y'all are getting this when it comes to physical things, because most people have experienced something like this, where you know that you can perform, you know you can do it, but when you go to do it, there's a gap. What I want to tell you tonight is that I am perfectly able to perform and do those things that I know in my mind I can do. I know it. What's the gap between me right now and my condition right now and being able to keep up with Josh Johnson on a bicycle? Well, that would be a miracle, actually. Do you know that he's like the fastest guy in the state? Like crazy good. Okay. So Josh is out on the trail the other day, and we bump into each other on the trail. And it was a miracle, actually. But I actually think, Josh, that it was about this. Because I tucked in behind you, and you were coaching me along the way, and I am watching you, and this is what's so interesting to me, is that there was a cadence to the pedaling that you would rest when normally I was exerting myself. And then I would push, 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 push in a hard gear when you would be in an easy gear. You had this rhythm to your riding that you weren't even sweating. You're just holding a conversation and you didn't know it, but I am dying behind you. And just running with them one lap, I put up all my personal best records, and it was the easiest time that I'd ever done it. Because I was watching somebody who knew what they were doing and had learned the rhythm of rest and learned that process and was experienced enough in terms of conditioning that he knew when to push it, when not to push it, and all these things. Are you with me here? You are capable as an individual. You have a calling on your life. You are supposed to play a part in God's grand plan for all of history. You have a name in heaven. There is specific things along the way that God is wanting you to do. The Apostle Paul calls it your high calling, and that your life is supposed to match up to your high calling. What's interesting to me is that along the way, we find that our calling sometimes supersedes our ability. That what you're called to do, what you're supposed to do, what you know you're supposed to be doing, and all those things, there's a gap between what you're actually able to do and what you know you're supposed to be able to do. Anyone ever experienced that before? How many believe that healing is for today? When's the last time you saw a healing miracle? Do you know why some of you have seen them and others haven't? It's because you've exercised. Because you worked the gift, you conditioned, and now you're able to perform. See, I personally have only been out on 10 rides on my bike this summer. But I have noticed something of significance that has changed in my physical frame. That just 10 rides, not pushing it too hard, not whatever, that my body has snapped back in and has remembered conditioning from previous. And my heart snaps right back in and figures it out. And I'm realizing that I actually am wired to go a lot faster than I'm going. But it's the effort that I'm putting into this right now that is causing me to realize what I've always known all the time. What if your spiritual life is like that? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Can everyone say every? Every spiritual blessing. Where is it at? Heavenly places. In Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Now, look at that. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Where? Okay, what does every mean? Okay, is there a gap there? Is there any lack in every? No, every spiritual blessing. In other words, all access to everything that has been released to humanity is there. It's in the person of Jesus, and you have access to it. There is nothing being kept from you when it comes to heaven. Okay, Jesus paid for all healing. Jesus is the resurrection. Disease does not stand before him. All demons submit to Jesus' name. All forms of addiction break. All forms of darkness go away. Life, blessing. Everywhere the gospel has gone in all of history, this is amazing, they can trace this out. In world history, wherever the gospel has gone, those nations have moved from poverty to plenty. Every nation. From lack to supply. Now, varying degrees of how much prosperity comes, but I'm telling you, the kingdom always brings prosperity. Provision for everyone's needs. Always. Then why is there a gap? Why is there a gap between when you pray for someone and someone doesn't get healed? We come up with all sorts of theological, you know, thinking around this. We come up with all sorts of excuses. We try to blame God. We try to blame the devil. We blame other people's sin. We do all sorts of things to try to get out of the reality that maybe you're just not conditioned. Dang. What I'm here to tell you tonight is that you are called to see this stuff happen, and you know it. You love listening to people like Bill Johnson or Randy Clark because they tell you stories of all the victories, and it encourages us, and we know, and we're listening to it, and we love it, and we get excited about it, and we get filled up, and we're like, yeah, and then we go to do it. And it doesn't always work out the way that the story went. The gap is not on God's end. The lack is not on God's end. The provision is not on God's end. There's an open door. Jesus is that provision, and all of it is in him, and you have access to him. Throne of grace, anytime you need it, you can go to the throne of grace and get the grace you need for that moment. No lack. Are you with me? Look at 1 Corinthians 3:19-23. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 19 through 23. The wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing what to do. Everybody say that with me. Wisdom is knowing what to do. So the wisdom of this world, in other words, what the world thinks you should do. What the world thinks you should do is foolishness before God. For it's written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasoning of the wise, and it is useless. So then, let no one boast in men. Okay, pause just there. What is he saying? The Corinthian church has begun to boast in the fact that they are a church that's formed by the Apostle Paul. They have begun, they're proud of it. Like, our pastor is Paul. Right? And there is a sense of honor around that, that whoever your pastor is, right? And there is an honor you hold towards leadership and whatever, but Paul is saying, don't boast in that. That would be dumb. Because that's not the thing to boast in. The thing to boast in is, or to come to realization, is that the craftiness of man or the wisdom of man and all those things, all the reasons you would boast in a person, it's all foolishness before God. No person knows everything to do. No person does that. Only God knows that. Look at this next part. For all things belong to you. Let no one boast in men, because all things belong to you. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all things belong to you. Okay, could he be more clear about that? Okay, repeat after me. All things belong to me. All things present, all things future, all things to come, all things past, no matter who the leader is, no matter everything. Do you know what that word is? All things belong to me. You know what that means? This is so wild. All things belong to us, that phrase, this is how it can be read. All things exist and are present for you now. All things exist and are present. So he goes, hey, whether it's me or Peter or Apollos, like, don't boast in those people for that moment. Because everything that they released is present right now for you to access. You planning your big trip out to Bethel? You heading to the next revival? Are those things good? Absolutely. To go and taste and see that what God's doing? Absolutely. But here's the deal. You're not actually lacking anything, and you have access to it right here, right now. There is no gap. It isn't exist there and not exist here. That's not how it works. All things belong to you. All things are present and accessible right here. So what is the gap? Come on, the gap is not on God's end. The gap is in our accessing. He's not holding anything back. He's not having revival someplace and then not having it here. That's not how it works. It's accessible right here, right now. That's why when people go to meetings like that, like a revival, and they get filled up and touched by God, and they go back, and then it starts in their place. You ever heard those stories? Someone goes to and gets touched by God at some special meeting, right? And then they come back to their prayer group or whatever, and they begin to minister to people, right? And then that same thing that happened over there is now happening here. All the person did is go and recognize, oh, I possess this, and then went back and now is releasing it as if it's present. What changed in that? Was it that they went to the special meeting, or was it that they finally got it? C- come on. Are you with me here tonight? Are you getting this? Okay, so what does that mean? That means that you have no lack. And everything that has been promised is being fulfilled in the person of Christ Jesus. There is no gaps. You're not waiting for the special person to come pray for you. You have access to it here and now. You just got to condition yourself a little more. You just got to get on that bike a couple more times, and your brain's going to remember. Don't worry. Your body will snap back into shape. You're going to have to fall a couple times, which I have. Tea over kettle down several hills at Lebanon. It's awesome. Yeah, it's been great, let me tell you. My chiropractor loves me right now. But here's the deal. You're made for this. You really were made for this. Miracles, the whole bit, like it's all accessible. It's not special people with special anointings. That is a lie. That's a lie. We're not going to go into it tonight, but I can walk you through the scriptures and how we, through tradition in history, have supplanted, have taken away the whole Catholic priest system where there's a separate group of people, and we have just replaced it with the fivefold ministry system where we have elevated people once again, and it needs to be broken down. You need to realize, no, you have access. You are a priest of God. You have access to these things. Don't buy into the lie that there's this special thing. It doesn't exist. It's not true. There are just people who have conditioned themselves better and are walking in the fullness of what Jesus has provided. And can they teach you? You bet. I learned so much following Josh on a trail. Tons. Things that I just watched him, and I learned. Right? Because somebody had gone before. That's what leadership is. That's why we have leaders. Not because they're the special. Right? As the Lego movie would have you believe. Everyone here has access. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Now, I want to walk you through God's exercise program. We should do an exercise video, don't you think? Yeah. Here is God's exercise program. This is awesome. Consider it all joy, my brethren. Okay, that word consider means to weigh or to calculate, to consider and to equate this value. And so what he's about to say is that he says, I want you to consider the trials that you face, and I want you to weigh them in the proportion of joy. How hard you think it is, that's how joyful you should be. Here's the scale, okay? It stinks and it's lousy and it's painful. Yay! Exuberant joy, okay? Same proportion. Calculate it, weigh it out, and then go, okay, this is the kind of joy I'm supposed to have towards this. Now, this is not like, I'm in a trial, but God says I have to be joyful. So you're going to work yourself up to, that's not that. You're not going to force yourself into that. This isn't that. When you see this, you will actually begin to consider things with joy. When you see this, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Just walk this through line by line, precept on precept. Consider it all joy, okay? Calculate it. This will equal whatever the weight of your trial is in joy. When you encounter various trials, various trials, that word various means multifaceted or multicolored. A trial is an experiment, a trial, or a temptation. This is interesting to me. Consider it joy, my brethren, because you are entering into an experiment of sorts. We are going to figure out where you are actually at in your conditioning. We're going to put you on the trail behind Josh Johnson and see if you can keep up. We're going to see what happens here. We're going to weigh this against the reality of what you're supposed to be doing And we're going to see where you end up on the other side. So you end up in a trial, which is a sort of experiment. The interesting one in this is that it also could mean a temptation. Now that one, to me, is just like, wow. You mean that when I am tempted by things, that this is actually a set of weights sitting in front of me? That this is another set of reps for sit-ups? No wonder it's hard. That I'm about to lay down and do some bench press because I'm facing a temptation. Now, I don't know about you, but I have tried my whole life to get out of temptation. Anyone here run away from gym memberships? Yeah. I have prayed, oh God, let me never be tempted by that again. At the same time, I'm praying, oh God, give me patience, or oh God, I want to be strong for you. Oh God, make me I want to be faster than Josh Johnson on a bike. Oh, Jesus. Just in one segment, even. Just one segment of Lebanon Hills. I just want to be faster in one segment. I want to have bragging rights in just one area. But I don't want to have to ride my bike. But I don't want to get sweaty. Right? That's why we go from conference to conference or event to event to have somebody lay hands on us, right? Because if I could just get the right person to lay hands on me, then I would be imparted what I'm just really, frankly, not willing to work for. Are you starting to see? Okay. This is fun, right? Various trials, experiment, trial, temptation. Knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance. The word testing means the crucible, to prove. Knowing that this trial that you're facing is going to prove your endurance. You're going to see whether you're in shape or not. Do you know how you find out whether you're in shape? This is Twin Cities bike repair logic. You know if you are in shape by registering for a Buck Hill race where you're going to do 4 laps of up and down the mountain. This is how you know whether you actually have passed the test. Not really, yeah, Josh. Go with it. How do you test it? You sign up for a race. You want to know if you're in shape? Sign up for the Tough Mudder event next weekend. You want to know you're in shape? Run a marathon. Do you want to know if you're strong or not? Put the weights on the barbell and lay down. Do you want to know or not? Do you want it proved? See, it's one thing to talk about your faith. It's another thing to prove it. How do you know? The Apostle Paul pointed to, you know, he's dealing with some folks that are getting really arrogant in some churches, and Paul is in prison. He's unable to go to people, right? And there are people discrediting him and stuff, and Paul starts writing this letter, and he's like, hey, I'm coming. Tell those jokers that I'm coming, and when we get there, we're going to have a bench press competition. I am going to see how much power they actually have. Because he knew and understood the realm of power, dunamis, the power of God that he was carrying, and the authority that he was carrying. Why? Because it had been tested and proved over and over and over. Now, Do you want to know that you have a high calling? Or do you want to prove it? I am telling you, concerning this region and this river valley, it has been prophesied over and over and over and over and over that this will be a threshing floor for an end times revival. It is my duty, my calling, the point of my existence in this season of life to prove it. Some would say, well, that's an act of God. No, no, no. Can I just tell you that what we say we're waiting for on God's end, he's looking at us like, dude, I know you think you can bench press 400, but we might want to start with just the barbell. I'm called to preach to the nations. You might want to try leading a small group. Let's work out some reps and prove the character and prove the faith that God's given you. Are you with me here? There should be proof. This is what Paul is saying, is that testing or the trials that you go through, that's what that is. Why should you have joy? Because in the midst of the test, you are learning stuff. I am joyful now when I fall down and fail because I learned the way not to do it. I'm filled with joy now when I come into a situation I know is going to be hard. It's perspective. It isn't about being happy because you're about to endure pain or hardship. It is about perspective. You get it. Oh, this is an opportunity for me to prove the faith that I have. Anybody here like going to the gym? All five of you. That's awesome. You know what I found about conditioning? This is just interesting to me. Is that the first couple times out, before you know, my body started remembering, oh, your heart's supposed to beat faster, like, and then your lungs are supposed to breathe. You know, these kinds of things. Once my body remembered that, I started actually enjoying pushing myself. And the pain and fear that kept me from doing that the first time is now propelling me into it, and I'm growing because of the pain. I'm feeling it. The tension now is something I'm actually pushing into. I want to pedal harder because I want to go faster. And I'm feeling the tension of the gravity and the hills and all that kind of stuff. Are you with me here? This is what trials are. It's your opportunity to feel the tension and to grow some muscle mass and press into some stuff and grow. To develop access to that which has already been given, because all things are present. All things. Who here has a heart to see like the dead raised? Awesome. When's the last time you went to a funeral to pray? Let me tell you, there's a learning curve there. There's a learning curve. There's some things you might want to, you know, grow in. Seeing the lost come to know Jesus. You know, that's a supernatural act. That isn't something lightly to be taken. Now the gospel itself is the power of salvation. All you got to do is share the gospel and the Holy Spirit will do lots. But I know that there is an anointing that I can carry as a person that when I share the gospel, it will happen. There's a confidence that grows because I've worked that muscle out. You know, Reinhard Bonnke does crusades in Africa, has for the last, you know, several years, and has seen over 1 billion people come to know Jesus. Preaches to crowds, 1 million people at a time. Are you with me here? When's the last time you stood on a stage and preached to 1 million people and had the confidence that all you had to do is present a simple message and the conviction of the presence of God would fall on a place where there is surely witchcraft, there are surely demonized, there are surely people that are absolutely needing bona fide miracle, otherwise they're terminal, and that you know that the simple preaching of the gospel is going to bring that conviction and the power of God's going to fall in that place? Can I tell you that chances are that he's done some bench presses before he got up on that stage. The testing of your faith will produce endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you would be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You're going to laugh at this one. You know what the word for endurance is? It can be equally translated. Same word. Patience. Patience. Endurance. Patience. Same thing. When's the last time you heard someone give you the advice, whatever you do, don't pray for? This is why. Because by praying for patience, what you are asking God for is a trial. This is what you're asking for. That's why people are like, don't pray for patience because all your stuff will come out. Like, you'll have problems. No, you're not having problems. You're having a gym membership. You joined, you signed up, you asked for this, he gave you the keys, here you go. Here's a better picture. The word patience, this is interesting to me, and it just means so much to me now. That word endurance, that word patience, it means to remain behind. Now, in the context of a race, where Josh and I are on the bike trail, and he is cruising ahead of me with ease, but I am remaining behind. What am I lacking? I'm lacking endurance. The trial itself is producing what I need in order to keep up, but I'm supposed to have patience in the midst of it, because I am going to lag behind. Why am I going to lag behind? Why is it that when I ride a bike with Josh, he's always going to be in front of me for this season? Because I am not in shape yet. I hope you're getting this. Look at this. The test and the trial is to cause you to enter into, it's going to slow you down. It's going to cause your race to encounter some rough patches. But that is intentional, because those rough patches are actually what is producing the endurance for you to keep up. So maybe this lap I couldn't keep up, but you better keep practicing, because I am. And I'm going to catch you. That's what endurance is. It's a lagging behind because of the pressure and the tension of what's preventing you from keeping going, but it's not because you can't go faster, it's because you're supposed to go faster. Are you getting this? That it would have its perfect result. That word perfect there, it's a type of word that always is attached to another word. So perfect result, it's a descriptive word to be attached to another word. So perfect means a fullness of age, a maturity, a ripeness of age. So a fullness of maturity, a fullness. It doesn't stand on its alone. It links together with result, right? That word result is the perfect or the mature deed. In other words, you'd be able to do what it is that you're supposed to do that you couldn't do before. But because you grow in strength, you're now going to be able to do what you couldn't do before. Do you know how to grow in miracles? Do you know how to grow in seeing people get healed? You have to start praying for people to be healed. That's it. I had a mentor, and I just look back, and I'm like, man, he was smart. He said to us, if you pray for 100 people today to be healed, there will be healings. You will see. Within that 100 people, you will see people get healed. Now, that'll be a certain percentage. Let's say 10% get healed. If you will continue to pray for 100 people, let's say every week, that give yourself just a little bit of time, and by the time of that time is completed, your percentage of what you see healed will go up. Guaranteed. Because it is by reason of use that your senses are trained. It is by reason of use that you grow in maturity, that there's a fullness of age. That's the trial of praying for somebody with cancer and not seeing them healed, and the heartbreak that comes into that. And you're pushing against a 1,000-pound boulder, and you don't have the strength to move the 1,000-pound boulder. But something changed. Even though the boulder didn't move, something changed in you. You grew in strength. So now when you come upon 500-pound boulders, they move easily. You're never going to know unless you try. You don't know what you were made for unless you put yourself in a situation where it actually has to come out. You want to see people get healed? Start praying for people to get healed. You want to see demons come out of people? Church is probably not the place to hang out. Not this church. Man, we cast them out every week. Don't worry about it. You're good. This isn't the place to exercise that gift. Where would be the place to exercise that gift? Go to some place where there's lots of people demonized. Come on. Take a mission trip to India. All you have to do is stand on a stage and command everyone with the demon to manifest, and the whole crowd will go crazy. Practice. What is it that you're called to? I mean, think about it. Really think about it. This is a nice preach, but come on. Think about you. What is it that you're called to? Is it leading worship? Well, when's the last time you practiced guitar? Is it preaching or teaching? Is it moving a miracle? Is it business? What is it? What is it called to? Because if you don't start the workout process, you're never going to get there. It won't be by divine miracle that you'll just happen into this stuff. That's not how life is. That's not what it was ever supposed to be. Don't believe me? Well, you just keep figuring out then. Perfect result, matureness, that you'll be perfect and complete, fullness and sound in every way, your whole being, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing is a negative statement. Flip that one around. Make a positive statement about that one. Instead of lacking nothing, like it's double negative, right? Having everything, yes. Having access to everything. All things are present. All things belong to you. By walking through your trials, you'll realize all things are present. All things have access. You have no lack. There's nothing needed. You will be able to be content in every situation. Why? Because you can just access anything from any point. You never have lack. Maturity. How'd you get there? Come on, it's time to go back to the gym. It's time to embrace trials. It's time to embrace these things as opportunities to test out your muscles. Amen. Pastor Jamie, that was great. Woo! Listen, you can think of struggle and temptation as negative, as if that's what's holding you back. You can consider that way, but I'd like to propose to you that that's probably stinking thinking, and that's probably the lie that's keeping you from progressing. That isn't true. Temptations, struggles, trials, those aren't actually keeping you back. That's not what's preventing you from fulfilling what God's called you to do. Don't pray for those things to go away. You need to overcome. Or you have the opportunity to approach obstacles to overcome on the road, growing in your authority for your high calling. The devil brings temptation into your life by presenting a lack. You remember the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve are in perfect access to all of heaven. They're living within the heavenly realm on earth. Like, the Garden of Eden is awesome, yeah? Like, who wouldn't want to live there? Every 2-year-old alive loves to run around naked. You'd never had to grow up. Just run around naked the rest of your life. The Garden of Eden had no lack, none. no lack. But the devil comes and tempts Eve, saying, hey, did you know that God's keeping something from you? Did you know that you have a lack? Did you know that you lack the knowledge of good and evil? Did you know that if you touch and eat that fruit, that it will provide something that God's keeping from you because you have a lack? Are you with me? This is the ruse, the lie, that has sown every other lie in all of creation. Every temptation has its root in this lie, that you are lacking something. If you believe you are lacking something, then you can be tempted by evil. If you think you're lacking something, well, Pastor Jamie, if I just had some more money, you don't have lack right now. You have a trial, sure, but you don't have lack. If you think you have lack, then there will be temptations and you have opportunity for the lust of the flesh or the lust of this age to take root in your life and produce sin. So it's not true. You don't lack anything. That's why we started there. You don't lack anything. Come on, remind yourself, I don't have any lack. If you come to believe this, what I'm telling you tonight, what I'm preaching to you, if you believe this, temptation will no longer have a grip on your life. Come on, think of any temptation. It's always about providing something that you don't have. Every one of them. Trials come to prove that you do not have lack. Trials come to prove that you are sound and complete, lacking in nothing. That is the reason for trials. To prove that you have no lack. I'm seeing some of your brain smoking, like, oh, I'm gonna get there. You can do it. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Have nothing to do with worldly fables fit for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds the promise for the present life and also the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. For it is for this, for what? For this, that we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Okay, look at this again. Have nothing to do with worldly fables fit for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Do you know what that word discipline means? To exercise. To exercise. Exercise your ability to walk in the Spirit. Exercise your ability to resist temptation. Exercise. Grow some muscle. You know, it actually has some benefit if you exercise your body. Paul says it right here. However, godly exercise, if you will work on the things in your life, the temptations, the trials, if you will grow in maturity, if you'll intentionally embrace these things with joy, that's building muscles for eternity. That actually has benefit for eternity. That's not just for this age, that's for the age to come as well. Right? So like I am physically fit right now or working on that. I'm working through my 30s so that in my 40s and 50s, I will be healthy. I'm intentionally working like this. Are you with me? There is some benefit to being physically fit and exercising your physical body. However, it is eternal value if you'll exercise your spiritual life. Let's finish out that passage in James. You guys ready? Are you alive? You okay? Doing all right? Come on, you can get there. I know you can. James chapter 1. Now, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you be lacking nothing. Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, now what is wisdom? Knowing what to do. Now remember the previous verse concerning worldly wisdom? Don't go to the world to try to solve your spiritual problems. Don't go to the world to try to solve your trials, because trials are for the purpose of spiritual development. If you go to the world to try to get out of your earthly trials, are you connecting the dots here? It's foolishness. You think that you're experiencing just the result. Oh my goodness, you think your marriage is suffering problems because it's just because of worldly issues? Don't go to Dr. Phil. No, no, you need to consider this joy and allow the Holy Spirit to work in this situation to perfect you, because the problem isn't your spouse, it's you. It's your lack of maturity. Hello, that's me. Anybody else there? The issues I face, most of the problem is, am I talking to anybody tonight? Did you know that most of the issues you face, the problem is actually you? The trials you're facing aren't actually about other people, they're actually about you. And that if you go to the world to consider wisdom, you're going to miss it, because God's trying to develop your character. This is why you would not sue your brother over a lawsuit if he's a Christian. Because it's not actually about winning a lawsuit and getting what you deserve, it's about learning the spiritual lesson. Hello. Come on. Some of the things that the church and the Christianity and God has demanded of Christian life isn't about living a better life existence. It's actually about growing your godly character. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. He'll tell you what to do. Jump to verse 9. The brother who is in humble circumstances, this has the word for poverty. If you have lack, if you don't have a lot of money, if you're in a humble circumstance, you don't have power to change your life. You're just kind of subject to whatever's helping around you, what's happening around you. The brother in humble circumstance is to glory in his high position. Now, the only way that makes sense is if you see your trials as set up for eternity. Because if you spend your whole life in trial and are victorious in your trials, what is eternity going to be like? Okay, pause. Do not feel sorry in terms of human sorriness towards people who find themselves in the midst of trial. Now, it would be easy to see yourself as an American superior to, for instance, like Africa, where they're in poverty because you have money and they don't. As believers, it would be easy to go, oh, look at us, we're blessed of God, right? Our church, it's thriving, and yet there's this little grass hut church over there that they're obviously not having the same experience as we are, and we would be seeing that completely wrong. Because God has been setting that nation up for glory for eternity and using that to prove character, that their crowns are going to be polished and awesome and beautiful under the glory of the Lord. Don't get earthly pity in your mind when you think about godly things. That's not how this works. If you are in a low position, a humble position, you should consider it as for the glory concerning the afterlife. The rich man is to glory in his humiliation. Completely opposite point of view. You got to work the other direction. Because you have provision in the natural, you're going to have to force yourself to embrace trials of different kinds. Come on, are you seeing this? This has nothing to do with your natural position in life or what you have or don't have. None of those things are keeping you from the course of becoming the full thing that God's called you to be. Blessed is the man, verse 12, who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, now pause, there's eternal reward for this. Are you with me? This is where things get the connection I think you're needing to see, and this is what James points out here. Is he says, "When let no one say when he is being tempted that I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. He himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust." What did that just say? That just said, hey, all your trials God is using as dumbbells. And he's not necessarily the one bringing you temptation from evil. He doesn't do that. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. So you don't need to see the temptation as from God because he's not the one that brought it. However, you do still need to see it as a set of dumbbells. Do you see the difference? It's not God that's causing you to sin. At the same time, he is happy to allow you to grow through the process and become strong enough to overcome that. Let's make some conclusions. Every person has been given access to all provision. You have all provision to become the full version of God, of what God has made you to be. You don't lack anything. You have been given all the equipment necessary for your calling. I have the muscles, I just have to work them out. I have the lungs, they just need to get more efficient. Any trial or temptation you face is just a new set of weights. They're just new hills to climb on the way to becoming in shape to fulfill your calling. If you see other people running ahead of you, be encouraged by this because the endurance training that you are going is setting you up so that you can go just as fast. Do not misunderstand your journey. Every person is making the same journey. It does not have anything to do with having money or not having money. What condition or lifestyle that you lead, that's not the journey. That's disconnected from the reality that you still have to overcome. The fact that you have provision and are living a lavish life does not mean that God approves of your life. Don't miss it. There is great reward for those who overcome and get in spiritual shape. Just stand to your feet. I want to read one last passage of scripture and we're going to pray. You guys do okay? Pastor Jamie, that is the last time I'm going to complain about my circumstances. Amen. Amen. Don't start a support group to get people out of temptation. That's not accountability. Accountability is not trying to prevent people from sinning. Accountability is holding you to your calling and encouraging you on so that you overcome and get stronger. Come on, you can do this. You're made for this. Last passage of scripture. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us, let's also lay aside every hindrance, every encumbrance, and lay aside sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What are you supposed to set before you? The joy of knowing this trial is going to produce something. He did not despise its shame, but he embraced it. You have not resisted yet to the point of death or the shedding of blood in striving against sin. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as little children. For what son is there whom his father doesn't discipline? If you're without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate children. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a short time as seemed to them best to them. But God is disciplining us for good, so that we will share in his holiness. Listen, all correction, all discipline, all trials, for the moment, they seem not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, exercised by it, it will yield the peaceful reward of the fruit of righteousness. Father, I thank you that everyone in here is called to run a race, that you have set it before them. It's their race. It's nobody else's race. No one can overcome the things you have to overcome. It isn't about your life circumstances. It is about your heart condition and your choice to choose him over the things of this age. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would wash over every heart and mind. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you would strengthen every person in their resolve in this night. Every person within the sound of my voice, God, that you would strengthen them on their inner man. That they would receive, Lord God, power to make the choice to overcome whatever trials they're facing, to patiently endure, to lag behind even if that is what is necessary, so that you learn the lesson and you don't have to go through it again. Take pains with these things. Grow in the gifts that God's given you. There is no shortcuts. Become godly. You have a high calling. And the Lord wants to use you to set a course in history, to be a world changer. So, Father, I pray this night that your presence would wash over people, you would infuse them with power from on high, that we all, Lord, together would spur one another on and encourage one another and strengthen one another in the midst of trials and in the midst of good deeds, God, just like a workout partner would do. Come on, you can do it. Suck it up. Push harder. Run another lap. Lord, in the midst of this, I know, I can speak for myself and probably for many others, that we have been discouraged in the past and we have, instead of embracing the race, we just let the gym membership lapse. Lord, we re-embrace it tonight. So God, I thank you for that. I thank you for grace from your throne to overcome. I release mercy over this group, over every person. Mercy, just be forgiven of the past. Don't even think about it. It's a new day. We're moving forward. Every trial set in front of you, it's just opportunity to prove who God made you to be. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I bless your people tonight. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance, his favor would come upon your life. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding would guard your hearts and your minds, that your ways would be blessed all the days of your life. And everyone that dared to agree with those prayers said, come on, God bless you guys.